Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to realize that your Holy Spirit is coming into us in a mighty way. Help us to realize that these changes that are taking place are not because all of a sudden we're getting more dedicated or because we're becoming better Christians, but because we're opening up to you. We're yielding to you. We're letting you be God in our lives. The reason why you're pouring out our spirit on us and using us for your glory and honor is because we're allowing you to accomplish those things that you want to accomplish. We're letting your plan flow through us. We want to give you the glory and the honor to realize that it's not by our might nor by our power, but by your spirit that these things are being accomplished. That you use us, but you are using us. And it's you that is using us. It is you that's flowing through us. It's you that's touching the hearts and the lives of the people around us. It's you that's blessing them with your power. You are flowing through us and meeting their needs. We thank you for that privilege, for the opportunity to be a channel through which you flow, to meet the needs of the people around us, to bless our lives and to bless their lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the major things that happens as God begins to move by the power of his Holy Spirit is that he starts to work in his people in a special way that sometimes we don't expect. I know when we talk about the presence and the power of God moving and God blessing his people, sometimes we see it as being something a little bit more dynamic, where we kind of want to see something happen to where that some supernatural manifestation takes place that kind of blows our mind, like calling fire out of heaven or something. But the fact is that when we learn to love one another, that is the greatest miracle of all times. When we learn how to be friends, how to fellowship, how to be involved in one another's lives, this is the thing that cannot be accomplished except by the supernatural manifestations of God. Our hearts have to be changed. Our lives have to be turned around. Things have to go on inside of us where God has to have, and believe it or not, as powerful as God is, God has to have our permission in order to work and move through us and love people around us. God has given us a free will. And it is in our control what God can and cannot do in and through us. And as we look at this issue today of building relationships in community, it's important for us to open up our hearts and say, God, I want you to break through those things that block off my ability to reach out and touch the lives of other people. A lot of us, it moves us out of our comfort zone to start going around and talking to people that we don't know. It bothers us sometimes when we get up and go over to someone and start talking to them and we don't know them at all. We don't know what their interests are. We don't know exactly what they like talking about. We don't know what kind of a response we're going to get. It scares us sometimes when we start that first initial contact with someone. We don't like to be rejected. We don't like to be made a fool of. We don't like to be embarrassed. And we don't want to go over and start talking to someone and have nothing to say. But with the power of God, we'll be willing to do whatever it takes to reach out in community to the people around us. And one of the first things that we want to look at today in the three processes of a community, and that is to introduce people to ourselves and to others, and to include them and to involve them. So as we look at the first of these to introduce, we look at Acts 9, 26 through 28, where the Bible says, when he, and that's talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, who is mightily used of God throughout the Bible in the New Testament and had three missionary journeys reaching out in all different directions. We're talking about that Paul. Originally, his name was Saul, and it got changed over to Paul. When he, Saul or Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And the reason why was because he had been sent to that area to throw Christians in prison. And he had been really used in a special way by the Sanhedrin to bring people into conviction and ultimately death because they were representing the concept of Christianity. And Paul at that time, Saul, was being used especially to bring these people under accusation. And he was ferreting out Christians everywhere and causing them to be put to death. And so when he met God and God spoke to his heart and changed his direction and moved him off in the directions of Christianity, and then he all of a sudden he shows up, this same person looking the same way. No one could really tell that he had changed. Maybe this was just some sort of a spy technique where he was trying to get in with the Christians and said he was a Christian but really wasn't, so they didn't trust him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas, a special man of God, took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Now, you can see how that this thing would not have gone well if it hadn't been for the fact that Barnabas took Saul or Paul and brought him to these people and started to introduce him. You see how that this whole relationship changed at that moment? And that's what happens in our church. A lot of times people will come into our church as a new person. And when they come in as a new person, they don't know anyone. And everyone looks at them somewhat suspiciously. Well, wonder who they are. Wonder where they came from. They're not a part of our church. They haven't been going here for a long time. They don't really belong here. Plus, they're sitting in my seat. And we start to get upset with the fact that this person is here taking a spot and trying to come in and join something that we have worked really hard to belong to for a long, long time. And it's difficult for us to automatically accept people in these positions in the church and start to accept them as friends in our hearts because we don't know them. We don't know where they came from. They may not be the kind of people we want in our church. And we start off guilty until proven innocent. But Barnabas takes this young man under his wing and starts to make him feel a part. We, in this process of being taken like Barnabas with Paul, we've been brought under someone's wing. We began to get introduced to this relationship with the other people in the church. And in a matter of months, we belong. We're accepted. People know us. People greet us. Because the process has taken place to where that we are able to be a part of those things that everybody else is experiencing in the church. Now, one of the things that we do in introduction is first of all, we want to get them introduced to us. Well, that's obvious, but it's not obvious. It's not someone else's job. Somebody needs to make this person feel welcome. We need to be a welcoming church. Yeah, you guys ought to be more welcoming. But that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is us as an individual, where that our own heart opens up to the people around us and we allow ourselves to become friendly to people. And the first thing that a person has to know, first thing that a person needs to know is your name. I took on a very large class in Dallas as the new teacher. And there was this one gentleman came up to me every Sunday and he would say hi and he would give me his name. And he'd do it every Sunday. Hi, I am, and he'd give me his name. And he continued to do that until one day I called out his name as he was walking up. Now, that may seem a little bit pushy, but the fact is I appreciated it. Because I was trying to memorize a large quantity of people's names, and it was difficult. And this one person wanted to make sure that I knew his name. And every time I walked in, I knew his name because he made sure that I knew him. And that may seem like something that wouldn't be all that important, but it is, to be able to walk up to someone and be able to call off their name that you didn't know before. It's a difficult thing to walk into this building and to look around and see a whole bunch of people that we don't know their names. And when it starts to happen, that we start to meet a few people, we'll find ourselves gravitating toward those people, won't we? Don't you do that? You'll walk up to those people that you know and see if you can't strike up a conversation with them. The next thing is to introduce that person to your friends. This is the way the Spirit of God works. This is the way God unites the body together. This is the place where the Word of God and the move of the Holy Spirit starts to meet our lives. Is at the point where all of a sudden, like Barnabas, we take a friend and we walk them around. We say, hey, friend number one, this is my new friend. And you introduce your old friend to your new friend. Old friend number one, I would like for you to meet Newt. Old friend number two, I would like for you to meet Newt. And you continue to introduce one person after the other to your new friend. And as you do, you're repeating Newt's name over and over again, making it possible for, and I don't know whether this works happens to you or not, I don't know how it happens in your mind, but somehow, some way, I have some sort of an attention deficit disorder to where that when someone gives me their name, it sort of like goes in one ear and out the other. And then I'm embarrassed to say to them, man, you just told me your name. I hate to tell you this, but I didn't get it. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know where my mind is, but all of a sudden the name just sort of flies by. And it's so great to hear it over and over again because finally it locks in. As you begin to take Newt around and introduce him to all of your old friends, they get a chance to hear it. And you continue to do so until Newt is accepted in the church. That is a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a Dale Carnegie course, but the fact is this is where we as real Christians do real Christianity. Where we take Christianity out of the box and we start to involve it in real life. And then Newt gets invited to meet other people in the church by your friends. To where that you encourage your friends to not only get to know him, but you encourage your friends to introduce him to their friends. And the relationship of unity, the relationship of loving one another grows. Why? Because we love our neighbor as ourselves. Because we don't like to go into large crowds and feel the misery and the pain of standing there not knowing anyone. Do to others as you would have them do to you means that we will take people around and we will introduce them to other people and help them to meet new friends and become acquainted and feel a part of our church because we love them like we love ourselves. Mark 2:14 says, this is talking about Jesus. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Now, up until that time, Levi's life wasn't changed. Up until that time, Levi's life was going to be that of a tax collector. Nothing was going to change. He was going to be a tax collector. He was going to get up the next day and be a tax collector. He was going to get up the next month and be a tax collector. He was going to get up the next year and be a tax collector. Until one day, someone included Levi in their ministry, in their life. Jesus came by. Now, I know you don't feel like Jesus. I know that you don't feel like that you really represent him in a lot of ways. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he is taking the things of Christ, and he is showing them to you, and he is making you an ambassador of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. What's that all about? That is God resident inside of your heart, ministering to the lives of the people around you. And as you start to include other people in this relationship that you have, you start to bring to them those things that Christ is doing for you. So that the first thing you include the person in is as your friend. You make them your friend. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have a friend that you pretty much meet with every week? Just think. When you call someone, you call them. When you have something special going on in your life, you tell them. You see, can you see that person? Now, imagine Newt. Okay? The new person. Include them in on that friendship. That is a mighty move of God in your life. To where that all of a sudden, you start thinking about people that are new in your life. And you start incorporating them into your thought processes, into your friendships. To where that you meet with them. You talk with them. You fellowship with them. You make them a part of who you are. God is in you, people. God is in you. God is in you in a mighty way. And when you start to rub elbows with the new people, when you start to be their friend and make them a part of your life, the God in you and the God in them mixes together. And the grace of God flows back and forth between the two of you. And God does wonderful things in both of your hearts and lives. This is Christianity. This is the process where we take our plans that did not incorporate a new person. When we drew them up a month ago, all of the things that we were going to do this month. When we drew up those plans that didn't incorporate some new people in it. And sometimes new people in our lives, in our plans, become inconveniences where that we don't incorporate them into the normal plans. We always meet at this restaurant with these people. We always go out shopping with these people. We always go fishing with these people. And all of a sudden, you incorporate within those plans new people. And you all of a sudden start doing something that you weren't doing before. You make some telephone calls. You start to invite them. You start to ask them, would they like to go with you shopping? That you and your friend are going to be going shopping. You usually go shopping together. Would they like to also join you? Because God's in your life. Because the power of God is working in your heart. And because as you touch them and their lives touch yours, the move of God takes place between the two of you. And it goes beyond Sunday. God begins to meet with his people on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. God starts to minister in the lives of his people. And they start to spread out to the community. And people start to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They get filled with the power of God. They become resident in God's word. They begin to study and to devote themselves to personal and private devotions. Why? Because God's people are the salt of the earth. And they are influencing their community for Christ because they aren't just going around cramming some sort of canned message in the lives of other people. They are giving them friendship. And the ministry becomes much easier at that point, doesn't it? When our assignment to go into all the world and proclaim the good news is to say, this is the good news. God has changed my life. I'm a happy person. I am enjoying my life. I am enjoying my relationships. This is what God's all about. When you go shopping, which they do. When you go fishing, which some do. When you go to work, which pretty much all of us do. We take God with us. And you start to influence the lives of the people around you to where that their schedules start to change. As you incorporate them into your spiritual growth, their whole life starts to take on a brand new meaning. It's nothing drastic. It's nothing where that all of a sudden they make this big, giant change and start to come to church and demonstrate all of the elements of Christianity. They just start to grow. Just a little seed comes out of the ground and grows. The Bible says in Acts 11, 25 and 26, "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now, the problem with Paul was that he was causing a lot of trouble. He would go out and he would cram the gospel down people's throats. He's kind of a forceful type personality. He was type A personality. And he wasn't asking people if they wanted to accept Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. He was telling them that they were going to have to accept Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, because the Bible says. And so what he was doing was, is he was taking these scriptures that he had resident in his life, that he had been learning for a long time, that he discovered that they were talking about Jesus. And up until that point in time, he didn't know exactly what they were talking about. And so he'd learned a lot of stuff. He had a lot of information. And all of a sudden, he realized all of this is talking about the Messiah. And it was proven to him beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was that Messiah, that he fulfilled every one of those promises. And he got so excited about it that he went around and he started proving mightily, the Bible says. Proving mightily that Jesus was the Christ. Well, that's a great thing for those who want to know, but for those who don't want to know, they didn't want to know. And he was proving mightily to them that Jesus was the Christ, and so they showed their appreciation by trying to kill him. Because he was cramming something down their throats that they didn't want to be a part of their lives, and he was making them know that Jesus was truly the answer. They couldn't resist his wisdom. They couldn't resist his scriptures. They tried everything to get him out of their lives, and he just wouldn't quit. He just kept proving mightily, and so they got up a team of people and said, we're going to kill this guy. And so the church decided, if we're going to get any kind of peace in the church, and if we're going to save this guy's life, we're going to have to send him off to Tarsus and let him just kind of study and pray for a while. And so they sent him off, and he stayed there for a long, long time. And he was staying there, and he stayed. You ever been put on a shelf, my God? You ever had a point in time where it just seemed like the heavens brassed over? Where that you prayed prayers and they bounced up against that brass ceiling and bounced back down on your face. It seemed like that God wasn't talking. He wasn't responding. You ever felt that? What's your plan for my life, God? What direction do you want me to go? Are you ever going to use me? Am I ever really going to be a part of the plan that you've called me to? There was a time in my life when I really felt your call. Is that ever going to happen? I saw that dream that Joseph saw where you showed me my future and you were showing me so many wonderful things. And now it just seems like months, years, and decades have gone by and nothing's happened. And this was going on with Paul until one day, Barnabas. One day, Barnabas. One day, a human, just a normal, everyday human, came and got Paul and said, "Hey, I want to include you in my ministry." Process of involvement is first of all to involve a person in our church, to where that as we start to minister and meet and be friends and be a part of another person's life and make them a part of ours. The whole process is realizing that if Barnabas doesn't come by, they're going to be where they are. And God wants to use you as a Barnabas. He wants to speak to your heart and to say, unless you take this person under your wing and get them involved in the church and help them to start to grow and to expand and to become a part of it and get involved in those things that are being offered throughout the church, unless you bring these things to them and help them to get involved, their life is going to go on year in, year out, decade out, like it is. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like it all ought to be up to the church members. But you see, the thing is God wants to involve you in the ministry. God wants to use you to flow through you to touch the hearts and lives of people. And even though it may seem insignificant for you to start bringing someone to a Sunday school class, even though it may seem like something unimportant to you to make sure that someone finds out what all's going on in the church, may seem unimportant to you that you get involved because, as far as you're concerned, who are you? How could that help for you? Yeah, a Barnabas, sure. But me? No way. God is no respecter of people. Amen. He loves and respects us all. And your friendship, your helping people get involved, 10 years from today, if you start helping someone get involved in the things that God's doing in your church, 10 years from today, that person will look back on their life and they will be light years from where they were today. Just think about it. As Jesus came by Levi's life, as Barnabas kept coming by Paul's life, it changed. It changed who he was. It changed what he did. Do you believe that as God used Paul in such a mighty way, do you believe that Barnabas got credit in heaven in eternity for it? Do you? I do. I believe that God using Barnabas to help Paul get actively involved in the ministry, that every soul that Paul brought to Christ, Barnabas got credit as well. I believe that the eternal rewards for every person who involves themselves in any way. The Bible says if you bring a cup of water in the name of a prophet to a prophet and say, here's a cup of water, that you will get a prophet's reward. Is that awesome or what? And even though it may not be that this person is called to the same ministry as you, but as you began to move them into the things that God's using you in, wherever you plug into the church, just ask them to come and help you with it. Just involve them in the ministry, in your ministry, and let them have an opportunity to get actively involved in those things you're doing. And just become your assistant, just to be there and to talk and to share and to be actively involved in those same things together. Do you understand how this is going to take our community for Christ? Can you see how that this is going to change the lives of the people around us as we begin to just incorporate them into these things, and ultimately we find out what their interests are, and we begin to show them how that they can also be used of God, and we start to introduce them into those things that God wants to use them in, that they grow in these things? And it isn't this complex thing. It's just this simple building of relationships with one another, where we open up our heart and we just incorporate someone else into our life. We just sort of mentor them and care for them and be there when they have questions and when they run through problems. When they need prayer, we're there. Whenever they go through some sort of a difficulty or they start to doubt Christianity or to be attacked by Satan, we're there because we have incorporated them into our lives as friends. And we call them my friend. And when they call, we say, my friend called. And we treat them as our friend because we have incorporated them into our hearts and our lives. It's just those little walls that exist between each individual. It's just those little barriers where we just don't reach past them to the lives of others and let that other person be touched by our heart, by our ministry, by shopping together, by fishing together, by going out and working together, by whatever you're doing, to incorporate that person in your plans and to start involving them in your ministry, in your church, helping them find their interest the way God has gifted them taking an interest in them. This is community. Introduce them. Share your friends. Include them. Share your friendship. Involve them. Share your ministry. We can say we're the friendliest church in town, and it can become our favorite slogan, but it doesn't make it true, does it? We can say that we're friendly people, but that doesn't make it true of those around us. We can be very friendly to our clique, to our small group of people, to that circle of friends, but it doesn't make it true of the people that come in our community, does it? I know that some of you do not consider yourself people. You're not people persons. I know that it would be a massive step over that wall to start making this move. But how many of you believe in the transforming power of God? I want to share with you just a really, really quick story. My life was so cloistered by my mom. She so controlled everything that I thought, felt, and did that I couldn't pick up a telephone or make a phone call because I was so afraid of making that phone call. I flunked speech classes because I couldn't stand up in front of the people. I was so fearful. I'm shocked that I'm standing here today. I really am. It's way, way, way beyond my comfort zone. But what you're seeing is a work of God. He's making it possible for me to stand up in front of people and talk. There was a day when I couldn't do that. It's way out of my comfort zone to pastor a church. It's way out of my comfort zone to counsel. It's way out of my comfort zone to greet you at the door. But the miraculous power of God changed all of that. Also, I stuttered really bad. God healed me so that I could talk and say words a lot faster than I could before. Those are all miracles. And I know that there's just this feeling of fear that sometimes comes up when you hear a sermon like this where you just don't really want to pray and ask God, will you help me to incorporate other people into my life and make them my friend. But I'm asking you today, I'm asking you to pray and ask God from your heart, God, help me to step out of my comfort zone. Give me your peace. Give me your anointing. There are lives of people who can only be touched by me. There are lives of people who are suffering because they're alone. They're lonely. They're needy. And no one is there to be their friend. I want to be their friend. And just ask God to help you. Pray right now. Ask God. Now, you have to want this. You have to believe in His mighty power. And while you're praying, I want to encourage you that He is not going to grab you and jam you into a bunch of uncomfortable situations. What He will do is He will heal your heart. He won't grab you and stick you into one scary situation after another. At first, I went out there trying to face my fears. And I kept facing my fears, and I kept being fears. And I kept facing them, and I didn't change from fears. And I was very uncomfortable. I have the peace of God in my heart this morning as I stand here. The Holy Spirit is giving me peace in a situation where normally I would be so nervous, so scared, that I would not be able to talk or stand. When you ask Him, I'm trying to help you to want to ask. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to get this. But if I can help you to want to ask, God, give me a peace in my heart of going around meeting new people. God, give me a peace in my heart where that I enjoy talking to people. Some of you may not need to pray that prayer. Some of you, God may have already done that work. Then I would like to ask those of you who already have that work done in your life to pray for those who are struggling. God, heal them. Just wherever you are in this building, let's just pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit to move so mightily on our hearts and our lives that this church becomes a church that is wide open in love and community with one another. And that we broaden our scope of love and community to our community here that we call the various cities that are around us. And that God would use us in that outside community to touch their hearts and their lives. God, just use me. Speak to my heart. Just pray to Him. Ask Him. Speak to my heart. Help me, Heavenly Father, to step out of my comfort zone. Help me to step out of that shell that I find myself in. Minister to my needs and help me. Minister to my heart. Heal my heart and help me to reach out to those people around me. Get to know them. Start taking them around, introducing them to my friends. Getting my friends to start introducing them to their friends and broadening their scope of influence. Help me, Heavenly Father, to share my friends. Help me to share my ministry. Heavenly Father, we just bring this congregation before you. Move in a mighty way in our hearts. Help us to be so transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be changed in such a way that we began to mentor, to begin to care for, began to incorporate the people of other walks of life into our friendship. Help us this week to start to think of people that we typically don't involve in our lives. Help us to think their name. Help their names, their faces to come up before us. And give us a peace inside of our heart. Give us a joy that we, when we think about them, wanting to incorporate them into the circle of our friends. Help us to start praying for those around us that we don't know real well. To start memorizing their names and getting to know them and finding out what they do, where they live, what they're going through. Help us start to ask questions of one another. Help us to break down the barriers in this church. Help us, Heavenly Father, to cross over those barriers, to press in, to becoming a loving community of people. Move in our hearts and lives and let the power of your Holy Spirit flood our souls to the point to where that we are receptive to your work in our lives. And everyone said, Amen.